Amen. I hope you've taken time to read the Christmas story through several times and take some time to not only do that, but to read so many. I don't know if you have a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, then you can go through from the book of Genesis, and it gives you the references, you know, in a chain reference, and you can read, for instance, all the prophecies concerning Jesus, starting back in Genesis 3:15, and just it shows you the next one to go to and the next one to go through and to, and it's pretty amazing. How many of you got Thompson Chain Reference Bibles? Some of you do. I do. I don't. That's not what I'm using here this morning, but it's a great study Bible. But it helps you to read through the Scripture and to read all the wonderful prophecies concerning Jesus, and it makes Christmas really, really powerful. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we're not going to talk about that this morning. Christmas is a couple days ago. We're going to talk about 2020. And read you some verses to start here in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 17. 1 Samuel 9 and 17. Now, this is the account of Saul being chosen and anointed to be king over Israel. 1 Samuel 9 and 17. When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, "Behold, the man whom I spake to thee of, this same shall reign over my people." Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is." Of course, he's talking about the prophet Samuel. And Samuel answered Saul and said, "I am the seer. Go up before me into the high place. For you shall eat with me today and tomorrow, and I will let thee go, and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and on all thy father's house?" And Saul answered and said, "Am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? In my family, the least of the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Wherefore then speakest thou so to me?" And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. And Samuel said unto the cook, "Bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee." And the cook took up the shoulder and that which was upon it and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, "Behold, that which is left, set it before thee and eat, for unto this time hath it been kept for thee, since I said, I have invited the people." So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. When they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. And they rose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, "Up, that I may send thee away." And Saul arose, and they went out, both of them, he and Samuel, abroad. And as they were going to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Bid the servant to pass on before us." And he passed on, "But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of the Lord." And then the first verse of the next chapter, chapter 10. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?" This is the account of Saul and his anointing to be king, first king over Israel. And Saul was chosen of the Lord, and as long as Saul was little in his own eyes, You remember there in the text that he said, "Why have you chosen me? Why have you invited me to your house? My tribe is the smallest tribe. My family is the least." And he saw himself as weak, insignificant, unimportant. And because of that, God reached down, as he often does, reaches down and touches that person and pulls them up and uses them for his glory. Same thing happened a few chapters later when after Saul had rebelled against the word of the Lord and God was taking away the throne from him. And Samuel goes to the house of David and all these fine, tall, young candidates stand before Samuel, and he goes down the line and says, "Not this one, not this one, not this one, no, none of these. Is there not another one?" And then Jesse said, "Well, there's this one. He's little, he's ruddy, he's young, he's just taking care of my sheep. He's the least significant. Call him." And he came, and David is the one that is anointed to be king. I want to talk to you a few minutes this morning about a new anointing for 2020. A new anointing from God for this coming year. You see, the anointing, you have to go all the way back to the Old Testament to read about the anointing and to see the significance of the anointing in God's Word. It's all through the Scripture, but all the way back to the book of Exodus. And you can read about the different pieces of furniture, the tabernacle that was anointed, the different altars and the different pieces of furniture in the tabernacle. Each one of them was anointed for use in worship, anointed with oil for use unto service unto the Lord. Really, that's what the anointing is really about all through the Scripture. That anointing oil that was poured upon pieces of furniture, it was poured upon Aaron the priest, upon his sons, all the succeeding priests, it was poured upon them, and it just simply meant that they were being set apart, they were being touched of God, blessed of God, favored of God, for to be used of God in this calling or purpose or ministry, whatever that he was calling them to. So the anointing always symbolizes being chosen of the Lord, favored of God. It always symbolizes the Spirit of God, the flowing of the Spirit of God. It symbolizes the power of God, the favor of God, the blessing of God is all associated with the anointing of God. Now, if you would have known what was going to happen throughout the months of 2019, as the year closed last year, if you would have known all the things that you would face, the challenges of the year, you probably at this time of that last year would have prayed a little more seriously about the coming new year, asking the Lord, "Lord, I need your touch. Lord, I need your anointing upon my life to be able to face whatever challenge that is before me," and to recognize that the anointing of the Spirit of God, even all these many generations later, is still available to everyone who will call upon the name of the Lord and ask the Lord for His divine touch, His divine enablement. He will do it again. And so we do desperately need a new anointing for 2020. You see, an anointing brings about a dramatic change in your life. As it did for Saul, the Bible says that after Saul was anointed of the Lord, that he went out and it says he was a new man. He was like a different man. Psalm 10 in verse, or 1 Samuel 10 in verse 6, "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. Thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man. And let it be when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee." That was the promise of God to Saul. I'm anointing you, and he was changed. He was turned into a different man before. He was humble. He was in a, you know, he was hiding. He wasn't looking for any position or significance. He just recognized that he needed God. He needed help from the Lord. That's why he was looking for the prophet. He needed help from God, even in what he considered his menial task of just looking for his lost animals. I need the prophet of God to help me. Little did he know that the anointing was going to be poured upon him, and he was going to become a new person. Amen. To win battles and to lead the nation and to be the king of Israel. Praise God. The Bible says of David, after he was anointed of Samuel, when Samuel poured that horn of oil upon him, 1 Samuel 16 and verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. From that day forward, David was a different person. He was changed. Now, the Spirit of the Lord had used him before when he went up against a lion that was trying to attack his sheep, and a bear that was trying to devour his sheep. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him and used him, but now he's been anointed of the Spirit of God, and David never, ever is the same ever again. He's changed. The anointing of the Spirit of God upon your life will change you, and will change you for the better. Amen. You'll pray differently. You'll be a different kind of a worshiper. You'll be a different kind of a witness. You'll be a different kind of a worker for God. You'll be different. You'll be changed. It'll be obvious that God is with you, that His hand is upon your life. And oh, how desperately we need that. And we will need that in 2020. Amen. We need the change that God can bring to our life by the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God upon us. Why do we need a fresh anointing? Why do we need a new anointing? Well, you know, we keep this anointing oil around here, and we pray for the sick, and we've had, from time to time, we used to have a very large bottle of olive oil. And we used out of it and used out of it and prayed for people. But it takes a long time to run through a great big large bottle of olive oil when you're just using a little fingertip to anoint. And so as the weeks and the months and the years go by, let me tell you, I had people say to me, "I don't know, that oil stinks. That oil doesn't smell good anymore." And I would anoint people with stinky olive oil. And they wouldn't get healed. They got sicker, I guess. I don't know if that's true or not. It just lets us know that anointing oil can become old. It can become rancid is a good word. Spoiled, another word. And so thank God for the anointing that you've had upon your life. Thank God for how He's used you this year, last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, however long. Thank God for the anointing of the past, but that's not what we need for 2020. We need something new, something fresh from God. You need a fresh anointing of the Spirit of God upon your life if you're going to face the challenges of this new coming year. We do not know what the year will bring. We don't know the problems, the challenges, the needs. We do not know all the things that we're going to face, but God knows all about it. And His power and His anointing is sufficient for the coming year. But we need something fresh from the Lord. Isaiah 43 and 19. "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. You shall know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert," that God has promised, "I will give to you a new anointing for 2020. You need it. I need it. And we need to all seek the Lord this week and this month of January. Lord, fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost to rest upon us so that we can do what needs to be done in this coming year and face the challenges of this coming year. I didn't know the things I would face at the beginning of this year, but I do know that every year brings new challenges and new problems and new things, new opportunities that He gives to us that require that we have the touch of God, the favor of God, the blessing of God, the power of God at work in our lives if we're to be able to see wonderful things accomplished for the glory of God. Amen. So what do you say? Let's not be half-hearted. Let's become wholehearted. Let's allow the Lord to saturate us with the power of His Spirit. Psalm 133 and verse 2, this anointing that was poured upon Aaron, it says, it was like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even the Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. So whenever the anointing took place, they would lean forward and they had a scarf of sorts, it's what I'll call it, that was across their shoulders, long, there's probably a better word, tunic or something that they had, and they would lean forward and put their head forward, and the oil was poured down, and it went down over their beard and down the front of their clothes, all the way down to their feet. They were saturated. Amen. 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 We need God to stir our hearts to the possibility that we need to be covered with His presence, covered with His Holy Spirit. Where is it needed? Well, it's needed in your home. It's needed in your family. It's needed in every ministry. We need that in every Sunday school class. We need that in every outreach. We need that in every church service. Every time we come together to worship the Lord, we need it in every preaching service. We need it in our Christian school. We need it in everything that we are attempting to do. We need the saturation of the Spirit of God. We need as much as we possibly can get to meet the challenges of these days, to be saturated with the power of the Spirit of God poured upon your head so that your thinking will be anointed of the Spirit of God, poured upon your hands so that all your deeds and your works and everything that you do is anointed of the Holy Ghost, poured upon your feet so that everywhere that you go and all that you attempt to do for God will be saturated with the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You see, folks, we aren't fighting small battles. We face big battles. Large challenges are still ahead for the people of God. Big challenges are still ahead for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that to make you fearful or to cause you to worry. I just want you to know there's strength and power and anointing that's available for us, but we're going to have to pursue it. We're going to have to ask God for it. We're going to have to seek God and ask Him, Lord, pour out Your Spirit. Anoint us and saturate us with Your mighty power to face the challenges of these last days. Amen. Our children need that. Our young people desperately need that. Every age group, young families, us older folks, we all need an anointing of the Holy Spirit. A new anointing for 2020. Something fresh, something new from the Lord for this coming year to meet the challenges of this new year. You read in the book of Exodus, you read about the anointing oil and how that it was, Moses was given the recipe for all the ingredients in making the anointing oil. You can read about it there in the book of Exodus. And that anointing oil was to be mixed together by the apothecary. Mixing it together in the perfect blend so it would be just what God intended it to be. But in Exodus 30 and 31, this is describing that anointing oil. It says, and thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout the generations. Remember that. It's a holy anointing. It's a holy anointing of God. That God pours His Spirit out, and it is a holy, sanctifying work of the Spirit to cause us to recognize that we need to break free of all of the things of this world and all the things that are holding us back and have attracted our attention and get our sights set, our focus set upon the things of God and not allow anything to take the place of God's best for your life is to be a holy anointing oil unto throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall you make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. It says that the flesh, it is not to be poured upon the flesh. There's a sad mixture that I'm noticing in our world today of people who profess to know Jesus, but then they want to mix with the world and the love for the world and the things of the world, but they want God's favor and blessing on that. I'm talking about such things as Hollywood stars who will invoke the name of the Lord in prayer and quote scriptures all the while they're sipping on wine. I'm talking about sports figures who profess to know the Lord but yet use profane language and dishonor the Lord with their language. It sends a mixed message to a generation that's already confused. We've got the most confused generation ever. And so if you're going to serve God with your whole heart and break free from all the entanglements of the world, this anointing of the Holy Ghost is not to be poured upon the flesh. Amen. It doesn't fit there. It's not suitable for the flesh at all. It sends a mixed message to an already confused generation that you can live a carnal life and then ask God just to bless your carnality. I'm doing what I'm doing. Thank God for His blessing upon me. God's blessing upon me. No, if there's blessing, it's probably God's mercy upon you. Amen. Break free. Get set free from all the entanglements of this world and sin, and separate yourself unto God for His calling, for His purpose, so that this holy anointing oil can be what God intended it to be. A fresh, new anointing of the Spirit of God in 2020. No anointing is to be poured upon the flesh. Amen. It's the truth. It is the truth. Amen. And we desperately need this anointing. I'm telling you, I recognize more and more how much I need it. It doesn't matter how many years of experience that you have in the work of the ministry. You quickly learn that you cannot figure it all out. There's going to be challenges that are coming your way week after week, and it doesn't make any difference. Years of experience are valuable, but I'm telling you, there are many things we face from week to week, month to month, that we just have to have something from God. We have to have a word from the Lord. We have to have the anointing of the Spirit of God. 1 John chapter 2 in verse 20, it says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One." That word unction literally means, the Greek word is a word that describes the pouring out of the anointing. Ye have an anointing from the Holy One, and ye know all things. What does that mean? It means that this anointing gives to us understanding and wisdom, the ability to make decisions that would please God, the ability to go in the direction that God wants us to take that's pleasing to the Lord, wisdom to know how to respond, how to react, the right things to do, the wrong things to do, wisdom from God. The anointing, this unction from the Holy One comes upon you and you know all things. You know the things you need to know as you face the challenges of these last days. Amen. Oh, how we need a new anointing in 2020. Another verse is Isaiah 10. I'm giving you a lot of verses this morning. Isaiah 10 and 27. This anointing destroys yokes. It destroys the yokes. How many of you know of people that are your loved ones, your family members, people you care about, and it's very obvious that they're in the clutches of bondage. They're bound by the enemy. And the enemy is trying to destroy them. He's trying to squeeze every bit of potential that their life has and to ruin their future and to ruin what God has intended for their life. Isaiah 10:27, "It shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." This is a prophetic message speaking of the time when Jesus would come, the Messiah. This is a prophecy concerning the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. And when he comes, the yoke will come off. Talking about the yoke of Judaism and the burden of the law and all of that, not able to do all that they knew that they needed to do, and that yoke would be destroyed. Whatever the yoke is, it could be a mindset, it could be an addiction, whatever the yoke is, it could be something that's got a hold, a bondage in your life, whatever that it might be, and it is keeping you from moving forward and being what God wants you to be. Amen. It is this anointing that breaks that yoke. It's that anointing that can break through all of that and can bring deliverance to them and help to them. Whatever it is that you're tangled up in and you're bound by it, and it's a struggle in your life every day, and day after day you struggle with this thing, and the enemy's using it to try to hinder you and destroy the potential that God has for you. The anointing will break that yoke. The anointing will break that yoke. Whatever it is, the addiction or the fear or the worry or whatever that it might be that the enemy is using against you, it destroys the yoke. Praise God. Amen. I love what the scripture says here. It doesn't say, and we've often quoted it, is that it will break the yoke, but it says it will destroy the yoke. Amen. That's more powerful than breaking the yoke, isn't it? That's annihilation, destroying it, destroying the yoke. It never to come back again, never to be a problem to you again. It is a wonderful victory that comes by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And then one more verse is that Jesus himself was our example. The Lord Jesus himself was our example. Now, I know it's a controversial topic among some, but did Jesus do what he did because he was the Son of God, deity, or was he able to perform the works that he worked because he was a man anointed of the Holy Ghost? Here's your answer right here. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. You say, does that mean that he set aside his deity? No. It doesn't mean that he set aside his deity. It just means that he chose, just like he chose to conform himself to the form of a man, just like he chose to be born a little baby in a manger, he also chose to lead the way as an example for you and I. And he was anointed of the Holy Ghost as a man, and anointed with the Holy Ghost in power. And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He led the way. He showed us by example of how we are to live our lives. Amen. The anointing will cause you to be a person who goes about doing good things. Praise God. The anointing will cause you to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and be anointed of the Holy Ghost and with power to go about doing good and to bring about healings and miracles and deliverances and wonderful acts that God can use you to perform. Amen. Not just a preacher, not just a few select people, but God can use you, amen, to pray for the sick. God can use you to minister to people in their need. That anointing, Jesus was anointed of the Holy Ghost in power and went forth doing good and healing the sick. Praise God. And so can you. That's the kind of anointing that we all need for this new coming year. Amen. That's what we need to be praying. A lot of things to pray about. And we'll pray about a lot of different things in our night of prayer Wednesday night.
We'll pray about a lot of different things. But the all-encompassing, the all-most important thing that we want to make as the focus of our prayer as a church as we move into 2020 is, oh Lord, fresh anointing. Oh Lord, a new anointing. Anoint me and anoint every part of our church, every member of our church, every part of our work and our ministry and everything that we're attempting to do. Lord, help us to not depend upon the arm of the flesh, but to be anointed in a fresh new way for 2020. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you. The wonderful promise from your word, Lord, that you can change us into different people like you did Saul, like you did David, like you have others through the generations, Lord. Changed. Lord, we can be a changed people. We can be a changed church as we are anointed of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Lord, I don't know the challenges, the needs. I don't know the things that we're going to face in 2020. But I don't fear it because I know that your grace is sufficient. And I know that you have all the power and all the resources that we need in the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.